This is what I decided to do this week to interrupt my regularly scheduled program, which is never really ever regularly scheduled, but I do try, is I wanted to just share what I think the Lord has done prophetically, has been doing for the year 2025. And as we go into 2026, that's why I think this is probably of the Lord to share this, what I think the Lord's we're gonna start seeing from 2026. Now this, I'm not a prophet, but it is like a big high level picture of what I think has happened this year. And maybe it'll resonate with you in your own specific way. And then what I see going on in 2026. All right. About 6 months ago, there's a prophet, you've heard me mention to him several times, I just want to give credit where credit's due, that's from Australia. He's in Southern California now, a guy named Nate Johnston. He said, I don't remember the exact time, I don't even remember the post, but I remember the title, and I've mentioned it here several times. He said 2025 was the year of death. And so I want to expand on that because I think that was right. I think there were two types of deaths coming at us in the year 2025. One of them was God, and one of them was the devil, spiritual warfare, the enemy. And so I want to jump into this. First, I want to talk a little bit about God's death. And this has been a theme for the whole year, probably the last 2 years, so I won't dwell on it a whole lot. But I've never seen so much of God asking us to die to us. It was a year of unlearning our ways, our plans, our methods, individually and as a church. And I know all of you here, mature followers of the Lord, going after Him. I think all of you can look back a year, 2 years, and go, man, I have died that certain routines, certain habits, certain ways of thinking, maybe even friendships that got broken. And so I really think that was a God thing. And I'm going to bring it back up in a minute. But I really think that was the Lord trying to align us and position us for what He wants to put back into our lives. And for those of us that have paid that price to do that, some of us have seen a lot of physical deaths that were just painful and hurtful. I'm not sure those were God as much as the spiritual attacks. But there's two deaths. God's death to our ways, unlearning us. So that, and I believe 2026, as 2025 was the year of death, I really believe 2026, we're going to start seeing some new growth, some life coming back in where we have paid that price for death. I want to dwell a little bit on the enemy's death towards us. See, the enemy is a counterfeiter. Everything he does is counterfeit to God. And if God's bringing death to us, he is trying to bring death for the wrong reasons. And the spiritual warfare in 2025 has probably been the most intense I've ever personally been through. And I've had a lot of it, but it's just sort of unrelentless. And it was usually, I've noticed, in two different areas. One with physical families, battling over people, battling over relationships. And the second is mental battles. And it's just been so much battles to split and divide families, to cause mental battles in our head to want to give up, to want to quit. What you're doing isn't making a difference. What you're doing is not worth it. You just need to sit back and you know, where you're going is not God. And as I look back, and so these are just random thoughts I've got. It's not real organized. But as I look back over 2025, I really think these spiritual battles, He's allowed a lot of them in our lives. Some of them were Him. A big portion of them were the devil doing John 10:10. It says, Jesus says, I have come to bring you life and life more abundantly, but He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And you go, how do you just know the difference? And so you have to look at, this is where I think He's caused our discernment to come up a level in 2025. Not everything that we consider bad happens, that's happening against us, is the devil. Some of it is God to remove things out of us that are hindering us. See, 2025, I mean, it's really been going on for a couple years, but 2025, he's trying to turn us in from just ministry and leaders into generals. Because the life is coming, growth is coming, and that's just not just a quantity thing, and I want to talk about that. But he's trying to bring life, and he needs people to help him shepherd people, bring people in, and to give and to lead them. For whatever reason, we do have the Holy Spirit, but he uses people to lead other people. And so he's been taking us through these mental battles. He's allowing them to happen. You know, when you get these thoughts, you're not worth anything. Who are you? You're not going to make it. Your plans are stupid. There's going to be failure. That is not God, because God never does that. You can look at where it's leading. When God prunes you, which is what death is, you know on the other side, we talked about doors at the 5:30 prayer, you know on the other side, okay, I can see the benefit of this pruning. But the other is just mental battles. And so he's allowed some of that so that we know how to fight and to lead others. Part of the pruning, and so this is the dichotomy, you got God's death and then you got Jesus' death. The devil trying to kill you. Part of the dichotomy is this, is God is wanting to bring us all into a different way of thinking. And then when we have a different way of thinking, we have a different way of acting. And then when we have a different way of acting, there's different fruit. He is honestly trying to increase the fruit in our life. That's one way you know if it's God. Okay, this is leading to fruit, not death. And he's been wanting to change our habits and our thought patterns so that our actions and then our consequences will change. And part of the battle, I mean, maybe we can do a show of hands. Part of the battle is not giving up. I've seen so much, even in my own life, but in talking to other people, circumstances come, things come, people come, and we're just like, this is not worth it. And part of what he's doing is teaching us endurance and perseverance, because he is literally wanting to change the world around us. And it's not just going to be handed to us. And he's teaching us to take authority over our thoughts, take authority over our circumstances. And I'm telling you, no matter what battles you've had in your family, what battles you've had in your mind, you being here is a testimony that you have not given up. That's why I put these little cards on the table. We've talked about them on and off. You can grab them, take them with you. How to finish well. Because we've had to live these things this year. Those 10 steps. I believe it was 10 steps. And I'm telling you, if you're here, he is not going to succeed. We will win. Our thought patterns have been changing. Our actions have been changing. Am I the only one? Raise your hand if you've been the only one. The Lord's just working on how your default behaviors are. He's doing that because he's wanting to give us a different default way of thinking. And we've been through boot camp. And where he's going to put this to good use. One of the ways that I have really seen him attacking in the last year, and especially in the areas of family, seems like I said, there's been two major areas, family and then our mental wanting to give up, our mental processes, is communication. It just seems like our talks and talking to one another, it doesn't have people misunderstand us. And also, the devil's been trying to attack God's communications to us. How many of you have wondered if the prophecies and the words and the dreams and the visions that the Lord has given you, that he's communicated to you, are ever going to come to pass? See, the devil's been trying to steal the communications between us and God. He's trying to choke them. He's trying to squeeze them off because he knows it's getting close to these things coming back around. And in just a few minutes before I keep teaching, we're just going to bind these things up. I'm reminded of the story in 1 Kings 21. You can go back and read it, where there was a guy named Naboth who had a vineyard. At that time, Queen Jezebel and King Ahab were the rulers of the kingdom. Queen Jezebel, or actually Ahab, wanted this vineyard. Queen Jezebel went to Naboth and said, "Hey, can I get your vineyard? Can I buy it off of him?" And he said, "No." So her only recourse, which she took, was to kill Naboth, however you pronounce his name, to get his vineyard. It's an interesting thing. I didn't know this till recently, but Naboth's name means prophecies and words. And so the spirit of control, which we often put with Queen Jezebel, she was just a person, but she was operating under a demonic spirit of control that we've seen, you know, throughout human history. The spirit of control came in and killed the prophetic prophecies and words. And that thing is something we've been having to battle. How many of you have been having to battle? I've got good identity. I am going to live. These things that the Lord has shown over me is going to happen. I don't know how they're going to happen, but it is going to happen. And it is time. It's just been a battle, but I want to spend just a few minutes praying, then I'm going to go back to teaching. It is time for this spirit of control that's come against many of us. It's tried to get in us to try to make it happen. To choke off the prophecies and the words and the visions and the dreams that the Lord has for you. And it's just time. And I'm just going to pray a simple prayer because it gets old fast, but I just believe there's a shift that no more is there going to be this cutting off of communication of prophecies and words and cutting off of communication of visions. And even, I can't tell you all the different battles I've heard in marriages of communication problems and coming against one another and with family members. And that's just the devil trying to steal what we know is right, but it's been so hard to hang on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you feel comfortable, just stand up. And we're just going to pray and plead the blood of Jesus over this. Because it's time to shift. We've been in battle for a long time. And I just felt this afternoon the Lord just says, it's time. And so, Father, and you can just agree with me. And Father, in Jesus' name, we bind up every spirit of control that is coming against us to steal what you have given to us and promised us. We bind up every spirit that's speaking to us to steal the words that you have put in our hearts. We bind this spirit up. We bind up all demonic spirits, and we plead the blood of Jesus over us, body, soul, and spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus over our marriage. We plead the blood of Jesus over our family. And we just thank you, Father, for completion and that you have not forgotten us and that you're turning us from people to leaders and into generals to be able to free up other people down the road. And in Jesus' name, no more Jezebel spirits to steal from, you know, whether they come through people or they come through our minds directly. How many of you have been woken up a lot in the middle of the night? You wake up, go to the bathroom, or you just wake up, and these thoughts of what could happen come. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about, these attacks. It's not a hope thing. And so, Father, we bind up these thoughts. We bind up the enemy. And when those things come, we just simply tell it, it has no place in my house. It has no place in my temple. And we just tell them to go. And Father, I pray right now that you're bringing hope into people's lives back again. You're bringing strength into people's lives back again. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me talk a little bit about fruit coming our way. Life is probably the way, the opposite is coming our way. And as I look over myself, even with the intense battles, I look over you with intense battles, I just want to say fruit is growing. We've gone through some major pruning. That shows that we are sons and daughters of God. I'm not a tree person like Max and Chad and everybody, but I know from my bushes, which are not pruned great, not anymore, but when I took it over from my dad many, many years ago, they were totally out of control. I had to get some chainsaws because some of the branches had to go. The shears would not cut off the branches. That was major pruning. I think we've been through a time, the last couple of years, of major branches being cut off of us. And that's okay. And I honestly believe that the hardest parts of the pruning we've been through, God's death, is over. There will always be some pruning in your, you know, the branches that are left, you're snipping them and you're retrimming them. There'll always be some of that because that shows that we're God's children. If there's no pruning, that means He doesn't care about us. And so I'm seeing buds. It's not springtime yet, but in the Spirit, I'm seeing buds starting to grow. I'm seeing things at a small level starting to come here and in other places. In the natural, our church is smaller in terms of quantity than it has ever been. It's not even close. And I've had to fight through that. And the Lord says, I don't look at quantity. Think about that bush. You should have seen the bushes I took over from my dad many years ago. They got chopped, buddy. There wasn't anything green on them. It was in the summer. And what He's been doing here and in people's lives, we tend to look at quantity. We use the word more. More, Lord, which is all right. That's a good prayer to pray. More Lord, more finances, more whatever. I really believe we've been in a season of quality over quantity. And as I look at the people that are here, the few people that are here, you guys are a mature group. You really are. You're hearing God. You're following after God. Your identity is growing. You're finding your mission. You're bringing Him into your workplaces and your seven mountains. And we are really building something good here. It is good. I even heard the Lord say, it is good. We are building something good. We can't judge it, though, by the quantity. You've got to judge it by the quality. And when you look at that way, you really see that good things are happening. And so what is He doing? And He started to teach me, because most of the places I go and speak, the numbers have all gone down, just about every place. Not all of them, but some of them, most of them. And the Lord said, you cannot judge what I am doing in an individual or in a church by the quantity of people. He says, you judge by what I'm doing is the spiritual hunger growing in that group. If the spiritual hunger is growing in a person, if the spiritual hunger is growing in a group, then that's where I'm working. Because I'm going after quality in this season and not quantity. And as I reflect in my own life, and I reflect walking around and seeing other people, that spiritual hunger is growing. It's not in a majority of people, but it is growing. And so the Lord is good, and He's doing a good thing here. The spiritual hunger here is greater than it was a year ago. The presence of God is greater here than it was a year ago. The desire to follow Him individually is greater than it was a year ago. And what He's doing is preparing us, as we've talked so much about recently, to be a bride. That's His major job. Purity, passion, purpose. And He's been preparing for that. And so 2025 has been really a year of death by the Lord pruning and the devil trying to take us out. And He hasn't. And He's not going to. And we're going to just... Because see, the Lord has promised us we're going to go from glory to glory. And we're in that two-part right now. And so I really believe that we've seen more life coming up and we're starting to see the buds of it. And we're going to see it grow this year. And I don't know how that's going to grow. Years ago, being a pastor and raised in the church growth movement. We always thought that was numbers. And eventually there is. But the Lord gave me a challenge. He says, show me anywhere in the Bible where man calls something to grow. I was immediately taken, after studying it for a little while, to Paul's statement. He says, all I do is plant and water, and God causes the growth. And so in 2025, you individually, us together, we've been planting seeds, putting one foot before the other. We've been watering the ground with His Word and with good habits and changes. And He'll cause whatever growth that He wants to cause. And the Lord showed me, He says, when churches grow numerically, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's purely man's charisma, marketing, and hype. And you have to have discernment to see the difference, and sometimes I can't even tell the difference. But this is what I know, is I'm going after a quality intimacy with Him and seek Him and then let it grow in me, and then I pray that He brings up other people wanting that same growth. I've said this, some of this is just pulling together notes from the last several months that I've shared at the 5:30 prayer. So I really believe life is, so as we go forward, life is here. I feel it. I see it. I see the spiritual hunger. I see the buds growing. I see that we're in a stronger place than we were a year ago, individually and even as a group. And so, but this is what I really feel the Lord saying, that we do not have an answer for, is He is, one of the 5:30 prayers I talked about, we were in labor, we were in contraction, the baby's getting closer, so I just want to repeat that. And He is not, so when this life's coming, this is all in the context of that, He is not birthing what we think He is birthing. I think we're going to be surprised. Mark 2:22, classic verse on the old and new wineskins. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins. And the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Now there's a common charismatic teaching, which I think is wrong, at least from my perspective, that we're waiting for the new wineskin to appear, which means a new form, a new function, new guardrails, new whatever, and then the revival is going to come. I don't think so. I don't think that's right. Because it says wineskins plural here. I don't believe there is one new form. I don't believe there is one new thing that He's doing for. I believe the reason He's been, for each of you, change this, change that, get this different habit pattern. Because I said earlier, it produced different thoughts, produced different actions, produced different consequences. I believe He's given each of you a new wineskin that you have to flow in. And your wineskin will maybe have some of the same core values as me, but it's going to look different. You're in different kingdoms or mountains. You're in different areas. You've got different family things. But He is wanting to give us new thoughts. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the wine. He's stripping this stuff, pruning this stuff, causing death to us, for us to dig deeper to hear what Holy Spirit is saying to us. Some of these things He removed because they were so in the way we couldn't think in a different way. He had to chop it off, rethink it so we could think in a different way. And the way we think in a different way, I can't tell you how many times in this last year, in all different scenarios of my life, in the church and person, Lord, what are You doing? This doesn't make sense. And it comes back. He didn't say it this way at that time, but you could say it now. It comes back. I am doing a new thing, which means what? It's new. That means you've never seen it before. If you've seen it before, it's an old thing. And He has not fully revealed the new stuff yet. It's going to be over time. He's not going to give us one big download. It's going to be lots of little things that shape us into what we need. Years ago, I did a study on new wine versus old wine. Old wine, they say, let's take red wine. They say red wine is better with age. Why? because the acidic reaction in there of the yeast turning into sugar, I'm sorry, it's the opposite. Yeah. Or the yeast turning in, the yeast, which is sugar, turning into alcohol, it's bubbling and it's fermenting. That has started turning down and it's smoother. It's not as strong. It's not as acidic. If you go and get a brand new red wine that's just a few months old, it is almost always very strong. Most people do not like it. It's very acidic because it's brand new. Now let's spiritualize that. Most people like going to church services and like being around Christians that are tame, not acidic, not bubbling, that's smoothed out and doesn't cause any problems. That's why he said old wineskins are good. They're better to drink. But I'm telling you, the anointing on this church and the anointing on you is to be new wine for right now. And it's the Holy Spirit that's stirring things up. It's a little acidic. You can make the parallels there. It's lots of changes and it's not settled down. Could you say that describes your life? Or even describe what we've done the last couple of years? It's not settled down. You know what the remedy is to go somewhere that's not changed in a long time. And you will not have that. And the Bible says that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not judging it. It says it's okay. But that's not the calling on us. And it's not just the calling on us. As the Johnsons know, they're a part of a denomination that's 250 years old. They have gone through hell the last 3 years with the divisions and formed a whole new one. Maybe not them personally, but the church that they were a part of. Every major denomination has gone through major changes. The Presbyterians have all had splits. Go on and on. I'm not even going down that route. Why? Because he's wanting to bring the new wine to whoever will listen. And so these new offsprings, they're not stable as stable. They're not as they're more acidic. There's more a little bit more chaos. Why? Because they're a brand new red wine. Come back in about 30 years and let's see what RC looks like. And if you're lucky, I probably won't be here, but if you're lucky, and if it's still here, there'll be a new apostolic leader that goes, what's the new wine? This tastes good, but it's time to get a new wine. Apostolic leaders are winemakers. And so each of you are getting a new wineskin in your different areas of your calling. And there are overlaps here as we do stuff together. That's why it's so important. It's been a little while since I talked on it, but I'll just give the two sentence headline. This is why it's so important to not copy, compare, or compete. There are biblical values that are unique. And it takes somebody that is courageous to not copy, compare, or compete. Because you're doing it and nobody is doing it. And they're happy where they're at, and they're going, you're an idiot. You're missing God. You can't discern. We all love what Steve Jobs did with Apple. I've read three or four of his biographies in the past. Of course, he's passed on, unless he got saved. I hope he got saved at the end of his life. And everybody admires Apple, the first $1 trillion publicly valued traded company. But you know, back in the 90s, I remember in the 90s, everybody said he was crazy. There's even a quote on this hallway. Go out here. If you hadn't seen it, go out this hallway. Right at the end on the right is a quote from him. And everybody said he's crazy, he's stupid, he's delusional. You're gonna come against Microsoft and IBM. And he almost went under several times. Well, now he's worth multiple values of Microsoft and IBM. Because he was courageous to not copy, compare, or compete. And so that's, We don't want to be different just to be different. But that's why we've got, there's four things that, there's more than four, but let me talk about this. There's several things we've got to do in 2026, and we're doing them. One, because of time, I don't want to go into it, but 1 Samuel 17 is where David comes to the Israelites who are on one side of the valley, and Goliath and the Philistines are on the other side of the valley, and nobody has been, you know, nobody's going to fight the Goliath. So he goes and tells Saul, the king, I will fight him. And Saul tries to put on his armor. This is in 1 Samuel 17. He tries to put Saul's armor on him. And all of y'all know that story. You're mature Christians. What did he try to do? He tried to copy, compare. Well, this is how they've always fought battles. And this is how I got to compete. I will read verse 40. This is what he ended up doing. Before I read it, at least in my own life, maybe in yours, some of the biggest battles in 2025 was the way you're doing it is not going to work. You're going to fail. You're not going to get the calling on your life. You might as well quit. It's never going to happen. This is not going to happen. And that's the battle we've got to fight. Most of those thoughts I had, maybe you didn't have them, was nobody else is doing it. It's too late. You've missed the window. But look what he did in verse 40 after fighting, not putting on Saul's armor to copy or compare. He picked up five smooth stones from a stream and put them into a shepherd's bag. And then armed, I love what the New Living Translation says, only with a shepherd's staff and sling. Verse 43, he goes, gets in front of Goliath, and Goliath goes, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? I'm here to tell you that the method God is leading you in, even if you're the only one that believes in it, has probably been slimmed down. It's become very minimal, the strategy. Five smooth stones, a staff, and a sling. No grand plans, no great ideas, no five-year plans. Just very slimmed down and minimal. And all you had was the word of the Lord. And there was David's part, and he did it. But if God didn't show up, David was dead. God loves putting us in those positions. How many of you have experienced those kind of positions? Maybe not as drastic, maybe not a physical death. We've been slimmed down. We've been minimalized. We have no great plan. We do have a plan, but it seems pretty weak. Five smooth stones and a sling. And if he don't show up, we will fail. But I'm here to tell you, he will show up. One of the things he likes about stripping down us and why he did that this year, first of all, he wants to see that we hear him. And second, he wants to get almost all of the glory. He'll share a little bit of glory with us. If David went out there with all this armor and a sword and somehow or another still defeated him, you could give some credit to Saul's plan. And he's been taking us on a journey of getting us to the place where we can't take any of the credit. And as the Lord brings life back into us, life back into our mountains, life back into our family, life back, even some of us have even wanted to give up on our faith. God's not real. He's not strong enough. This isn't going to happen. All we got to do is just hang on to His voice and leave the results to Him and walk out. Keep walking out. We've been walking out. Keep walking out into that valley towards our Goliath and go, I have no idea how this is going to happen in 2026. I have no idea what's going to happen in 2026. But I've slimmed down from Saul's armor to five smooth stones. And He is going to show up because He always shows up. And so I'm going to warn you, in 2026, the new wineskin is still, the wine in it is still bubbling. A good portion of 2026 is still going to be unfamiliar territory. A good portion of 2026 is still going to go, God, you better show up or I'm going to die. But what I'm telling you is, I know all of you in this room, we've paid the price in 2025 and before. And we've slimmed down. And we've heard His voice. And we're going to see Him move. And that's the condition. Some people have run. Some people are like the Israelites up on the bank going, I ain't going out there. I'm going to let somebody else do it. Well, they've got their own walk with the Lord. But you've slimmed down. You've listened to Him. And I'm telling you, it may be unfamiliar territory. Think of yourself as David walking out, not sure exactly how this thing's going to work. But you may even feel lost. You may even feel directionless. How many of you have felt lost and directionless? I mean, this is common. So I want to encourage you, you're not directionless. You're going in the right direction. And when you feel that happen again in 2026, say, Father, I thank you. I'm going in the right direction. I just can't see the direction right now. But you are involved in it. Real quick, and then we'll close. Four things to keep in mind as we go forward. Stay close. The key is the wine. The Holy Spirit. I think that's obvious. Walk by faith and not by sight. Second, this is a big deal. Be flexible and willing to change. You know, we've talked for years about getting margin in your life. Why? Margin means ability to move, not be overscheduled, not be over, you're constantly wore out in your brain. Why? Because if He's bringing something new, there, this is a key point. You have to have some place to put the new. Now, that's going to vary for each of us, okay? But if we're overbooked, overscheduled, overstressed, I'm just telling you, it's going to delay the new because there's no place to put it. You're just going to get overstressed and over whatever. This is actually a season where we should have a little bit more margin than we, more margin we had 2 years ago. You know, for you it might be emotionally. Some of you it may be physically. Some of you it may be mentally. I don't know. It's what God's calling you to do. And in some ways, at the end of 2026, we're going to be busier than we are now because He's going to be filling in some of these gaps of where He got rid of stuff. But we're going to do it in this third step. Maybe we'll talk more about it in the future, and we will. Even though we're going to be, I think, by the end of 2026, in some ways busier, we're going to be have more fruit than ever because we're learning how to do it in His rest and in His power. Instead of just grunting it out. And there's times you got to grunt it out. I get it. There's time, the Bible talks about perseverance a lot. But He's wanting to increase fruit in you. That's why He prunes you. He wants more branches. Some of you are dogwood trees. You're going to have pretty blooms. Some of you are going to be big cedar trees that support lots of things, birds and eagles in them and whatever it is. And so that fruit is growing now. I can just tell you by the Spirit. You may not be able to see it, but by faith, I'm going to tell you, even in the natural, I'm seeing it. You're getting new buds on you. You're getting new branches on you. And He's going to fill those things as the year goes along. And we're going to have more fruit with no more work than some of the things we've done in the past. Because He's going to teach us, that's why He's asked us to stay close to Him, how to do it with Him. I want to close with this, the fourth thing, Hebrews 6:12. Let me put, the fourth thing is this, you're going to need lots of patience in 2026. I'm just telling you. Unfamiliar territory, not sure where we're going. I mean, so let me put it this way. What'd you say? See, there's something in us as humans, we're waiting for the period in life where it's all over with. I'm not talking about physical death. were the spiritual battles over with. So I don't want to discourage you, but I want you to be real. He gives us victory over individual battles. And we could all point to different things. You know, whatever they may be, physical sickness, addictions, people not getting saved, those are physical. He gives us victories over that. But do you realize the war, which is made up of many battles, will not be over with by the time you die? There will always be battles. And so we believe for each battle, and we get battles under our belts. That's how we become generals and help other people. But the war will go on even, listen to me, after Jesus comes back. If you read Revelation, He comes back, and there's a period of time where the earth, which is led by the demonic spirits, even rebels against Jesus. And so He has to fight battles, of course we know He's going to win them, to put the entire earth under His feet. And there's some period of time, and He eventually does it. So as long as the devil and the demons are not bound up and tied in up in hell, which they eventually happens, there's war for His kingdom. And so I'm going to get as many battles under my belt as I can. I want to go to heaven and go, that was a general that won a lot of battles. And I'm going to exit the earth where there's always going to be more battles for you young people after me. I'm going to be cheering you on from heaven and go, I did my battles, you keep doing your battles. And every time we win a battle, His kingdom expands and there's more of the Lord's prayer. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, that brings us back to patience. Let me read to you Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I don't know how many of you in the 80s and the 90s, most of you are probably, some of you are too young. I was involved in a church in Augusta that was the Word of Faith movement. They use this verse all the time. And there was a lot of good teaching that came out of that, and I believe most of the truth that came out of it. But you know, they never, that I can remember, they read the verse like this. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I don't ever remember a passage or a sermon. It takes patience to get what has been promised. Takes faith. That was all legit. And so as we go into 2026, and I've been talking long enough, we're going to close. As we go into 2026, there are going to be times you're going to have patience going, I thought this battle would be over with by now. I don't know how long some of these battles are. Some of the, as Bill Johnson says, your greatest battle is where your greatest anointing is. There's probably some truth to that. So whatever your greatest battle has been this year is probably where the greatest promises and anointing and fulfillment are. But man, does it take patience. So what is patience? You just stop and you say, Holy Spirit, I'm getting frustrated because this isn't happening soon enough. I'm getting frustrated because, you know, the reason you get frustrated is because it's not moving and you don't know what to do. And so when you don't know what to do, that means you don't know what to do. So you step back and you go, Holy Spirit, you know what to do. I'm not going to do anything on this particular battle because you haven't told me what to do. So this must be your battle. Unless you tell me what to do. That's a whole message there right there. And so as the patience comes up, it's really this. Patience on waiting God to do what you know that He has told you through faith to do. That's a good word. So the patience, yeah, you want to see the circumstance, but some ways we're getting impatient to God. God, what is going on? Why aren't you doing this sooner? And you know what? None of us know. We don't have any idea. Usually. Every once in a while He might tell you, but it's rare. And so that's where you back off and go, I trust God to bring this thing about. Let's stand. So 2025 is death. Death from God cutting off branches that He didn't want anymore. They might have been good for a season. That holly bush that my dad had probably looked great in his time. But he didn't want it in the new time. Holly bushes are a demonic. I've got 16 of them in my front yard. I'm going on a rabbit trail. But the holly bush was probably right near Eve when she got, and Adam when they got cursed. It sort of looks good from afar, but when I trim those things, I put on long sleeves, double long sleeves, and wear gloves, or I get red prick marks all over my arms. That had nothing to do with anything. That's just Craig complaining and whining. Where's my patience? And so when you get a holly bush, we'll deal with them the best we can.
Amen. We got
some of them look good with the red berries, but I got the ones that never do red berries. So I don't know what species that is, but it's okay.
That's the demonic.
That's the demonic. And so then 2025 was the devil trying to steal from you what the Lord has told you he would do. And we fought mental battles, haven't we? And we prayed over that, and we're going to get victory. And we're seeing life. We're going to see life in 2026. And he's doing a good thing here. And he's doing a good thing in your life. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for each person here. Just bless them. Encourage them. Let them hear your voice better than ever. Help them to walk in patience without any striving and frustration. Help us. And, Father, I thank you that you're increasing our faith that we will see this thing as we walk with you and do it in you. And I thank you that they are here, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.